Okay, next presentation, prevention of winter desiccation on fairway turf in Nebraska. Daryl Michael and Dr. Bill Cruiser, University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
Thank you for the introduction. Thank you all for coming and letting me share my research with you all. So the winter of 2013-2014 was a particularly difficult winter for turf managers, especially golf course managers, throughout much of the United States. In the Northeast, they experienced season-long ice encasement. In the Southeast, they were exposed to low temperatures and ice. And throughout much of North Central United States, they experienced desiccation. So this is kind of this affects a large portion of the United States. So for this study, we were concerned with evaluating crown moisture, and we wanted to evaluate crown moisture because that's the growing part of the plant and often the last part of a plant to die during severe stress events. And in Nebraska, desiccation being drying on these crowns, evaluating crown moisture will help us really understand the plant's ability to survive during stress. Now, this is a classical representation of what happens during crown moisture and its effect on cold hardiness up in Michigan. But what happens to cold hardiness and its ability to survive some of these really cold temperatures experienced during desiccation, what effect does moving the crown moisture on that graph have on cold tolerance, its ability to survive a winter? So our objectives for the study were to evaluate the effectiveness of commonly used desiccation prevention treatments and their effects on plant survival. So we evaluated this these desiccation prevention treatments all across Nebraska at the John Seton Anderson Turfgrass Research Center in Meade, South Central Nebraska in Kearney, North Central Nebraska at Mullen, and the far western edge in Gehring. And we all were also able to kind of butt into South Dakota, and we were able to evaluate these treatments, which I'll share with you across the winter. So the treatments that we chose to be commonly applied desiccation prevention treatments include a horticultural spray oil, a turf pigment, wetting agent, antitranspirant, a green jacket permeable tarp, a green jacket impermeable tarp, sand top dressing, and we wanted to compare all these to an untreated control. So these sites, just for the sake of this presentation, we'll be focusing on the JSA Turfgrass Research Center in Meade and the Kearney site. These studies were very similar, but due to the proximity of University of Nebraska to the JSA Turfgrass Research Center, we were afforded to take a lot more data collection, more intensive data collection throughout the winter months. So the treatments were applied at similar times, and we were able to also withhold all precipitation events during the winter period at the JSA site by applying a 3.5 mil clear plastic tarp over the entire study during forecasted precipitation events, and we were able to remove the snow, withhold moisture to really encourage promote desiccation. So we wanted to also evaluate, like I said, crown moisture content, and we did this by taking a plug and removing as much of the stem and roots from 25 individual plants from each plug to serve as a representative sample of the crown moisture of that plot. We were able to do this monthly at the Meade site, but we were only able to do this once in the spring at the Kearney site, just due to limitations in getting out there. But we chose March 13th as the rating site because from Beard's graph, we've seen that March was a really critical time for turfgrass starting to resume growth. For visual recovery, we were able to do this weekly at the Meade site by assigning a turf quality, 1 through 9, 6 being minimally acceptable. And we at the Kearney site, we only took data once. We took a plug, did crown moisture on that plug, and put the plugs in the greenhouse and evaluated recovery in the greenhouse every 2 days. Data were subjected to analysis variance in ANOVA. Treatment data were transformed to meet the assumptions of ANOVA, and treatment means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD. This study was conducted as a randomized complete block design with 4 replications. So at the JSA site, the Meade site, crown moisture content at December started with a very healthy crown moisture content. We saw a slight increase at the January month, and then we saw an eventual decline because we're not allowing any additional moisture being put forth into the plant. So I added just the spray applied treatments to this graph, and they either were similar to the control or performed worse than the control, except for foursome at the March rating date. So in general, they did not perform better than the control. Applying the non-spray applied treatments, the impermeable and permeable tarps, as well as sand top dressing, either performed similar to the control or better than the control for most of the study. So when I put all of these treatments on the same graph, we see that February seems to be a very important month for crown moisture content, as they really start to diverge and separate. So this might have implications for future studies in winter watering, timing, and selecting treatments which are able to sustain a crown moisture above that critical level. So the control ended at the March rating date when we removed the tarps with 0.49 grams of water per gram of tissue. The non-spray applied treatments, the impermeable tarp had a crown moisture of 0.74 grams of water. The permeable tarp had a crown moisture of 0.68, and the sand top dressing had a crown moisture of 0.6, and the lower spray applied treatments. So I put this picture up here. This is the day that we removed the tarps, and the plot at the very bottom was the impermeable tarp, which really accelerated the regrowth of turf in the spring. Right above that is the permeable tarp, so not quite as green. Slight difference in crown moisture, and the plot right above that, which appears very brown, is the heavy sand top dressing rate that we chose. So we have very different visual representations of what the turf would look like and their corresponding visual qualities. So just selecting those good high-performing treatments and retaining crown moisture, we see that the turf quality was really high, except for the impermeable tarp, but lower for the permeable and sand top dressing. 4 days after we removed the tarps, night temperatures fell to -6 degrees Celsius, and the turf was exposed to freezing temperatures, which severely affected the turf quality of these treatments. But we noticed that a small decrease in crown moisture from 0.74 to 0.68 did not predispose that turf to the same freezing damage. So a small reduction in crown moisture helped the turf recover without that setback from the freezing temperatures. So moving on to the Kearney site, which we were only able to, collected data from just on March 13th, we see similar trends that we saw at the Mead site, in that the permeable tarp, sand top dressing, and impermeable tarp all were able to sustain a higher crown moisture content than all the other treatments, being compared to all the other treatments. And I want to really draw focus into that 0.4 to 0.5 crown moisture content area, as there's no really treatments in there, and keeping that in mind, when we view the recovery, we see drastic differences from those treatments in their ability to recover. So crown moisture is above 0.5, we experience a 0.53. Those crown moisture contents correlated were showed very high recovery, whereas all the other treatments below that 0.4 were unable to recover in the spring in the greenhouse. So we found that turf survival is correlated to crown moisture content. We did a Kate Nelson analysis, and we found that the critical crown moisture content was 0.51 grams of water per gram of tissue. So what this means is that this might be a very critical crown moisture that might determine the survival of a turf grass throughout the winter months. So tarps, top dressing, sustained crown moisture at both sites. Critical crown moisture was 0.51 grams of water per gram fresh weight. Crown moisture content was correlated in the field at 0.65, and February is a very important month where crown moisture started to decline significantly. So like we saw with Beard's graph, desiccation crown moisture content has a direct impact on cold temperature hardiness. So characterizing how crown moisture, how it varies, will have an impact on cold tolerance, will help us understand a plant's ability to survive winter conditions in severe environments, and help us select treatments that might be able to sustain a crown moisture that gives us the best cold hardiness and best winter survival. We want to continue. We saw that February in this study was a very important month for, as we saw a divergence in crown moisture content, and this would have implications for maybe winter watering effectiveness of winter watering. How much water are we applying, and what response are we getting out of the crown moisture? And we want to continue to evaluate this all across Nebraska, expand and continue to look at all these different sites that are experiencing these very stressful conditions during the winter months. So I'd like to thank the USGA for their generous grant funding, and this research would not be possible without the help of all these other contributors. Do we have time for questions?
We do. 3 minutes.
To the back. So the question was, could I elaborate a little bit more about the impermeable tarp? So the impermeable tarp is a Green Jacket product. It is it's a woven fabric, so it will allow gas exchange and moisture exchange, but at the mead site, there was no additional moisture throughout the study, so it would be mostly a loss. At the Kearney site, we were not able to withhold precipitation, so there may have been snowfall events that could slightly contribute to the to the moisture exchange. Good question. Yes?
So on the crown moisture content graph, at one point you had the controlled moisture going down significantly, then the impermeable tarp at the same point in time was actually going up significantly. Why do you think?
Repeat the question.
So I showed the question was, I showed a figure where the crown moisture content was decreasing, but the permeable tarp was increasing. Did I understand that correctly?
I think the impermeable tarp with the crown moisture content was increasing significantly at the same point in time.
Okay, so the crown moisture for the impermeable was increasing at the same time. So that could be explained, I think, largely due to the fact that these tarps were able to withhold a heat under them, so there may have been some regrowth compared to the control, that the control did not get that heating under the tarp. When moisture and heat are present, turf will be able to resume growth in the spring. Yes?
On that same chart, it looked like the treatment with the wetting agent had significantly lower crown hydration than the control. It was lower. I couldn't tell if it was significant, but if it was, could you comment on why that may have occurred?
So the question was, why would we expect that maybe the crown moisture would be significantly lower than the control at a, I think it was probably the end rating date? I believe statistically it wasn't significant, but if I had to elaborate on why I think it might be, it's tough. it's interesting. Yeah, I don't think it was significantly different, but maybe by the time the soil froze, the water had already it had maybe had an impact on the water before freezing that what made water less available. That's interesting. Yes. Any other questions?
What did they commonly use in Nebraska to prevent desiccation?
So the question was, what do they commonly use in Nebraska to prevent desiccation? So it really depends on the budget of the course and their ability. Much of Nebraska is native sand, so there's a larger supply of sand that people use really heavy top dressings late in the fall. There is an emphasis for high budget courses to put tarps over high value turf. So it's most of the treatments revolve around using tarps or heavy sand top dressing to prevent desiccation, with added emphasis on historically prone areas.
We'll have to move on to the next speaker, but let's thank
you. Thank you.